Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy, Lord, the strength you give us day by day, especially the strength for the inner man, Lord, through the life of the Word. And also we thank you for whatever strength we get for the outer man, which is perishing day by day, knowing that one day this body shall go back to the earth from whence it came, but also then it shall come back again in a resurrection, which we know is your will, Father, and your will cannot be in any way circumvented, and we praise you for that. Also, Lord, we know that your word is that all your children should be taught of God and shall know the truth at the end time, especially the restored word. And we have had that given to us by vindication. And we pray we may partake further this morning of those truths which have been given to us. Lord, help us to understand, knowing they were given to us for a purpose. Many times we would think it's not given to us for a purpose as far as we are concerned, wondering just what it would lead to, but we know that no word of God is void of power. Every word must be fulfilled, and so we thank you for whatever you give us, Lord, day by day. We appreciate that, and we love you for it, and may our love increase as our hearts are further circumcised by the sword of the Lord, which is, we know, the living word of God. Thereby love coming forth as never before to you and toward the brethren, settling in, Lord, to the last hour, the last day, the real fullness of the Holy Spirit, the resurrection, the catching away of a bride. Help us in all these things this morning, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm not going to continue reading in the leadership at this particular moment. Instead of continuing then in leadership, I want to discuss two points of interest that came up during our reading and discussion of this sermon that Brother Branham preached, leadership. Actually, we're not a part of the message, though they came up during the message which he delivered. Now, the first point I want to examine is what Brother Branham taught us in the spoken word, which is the original seed. And the reason I'm going to take this is to perhaps help to clear up some things that have been left unsaid, actually perhaps just left for you to garner them on your own, having been given a basic understanding of what Brother Branham said, and you carry it on yourself. But knowing that many times that's not just the best, we want to talk then about what Brother Branham did say concerning Eve in the spoken words original seed. And there Brother Branham taught us that Eve should have borne the seed, even Christ. Now, we realize, of course, that this seemed hardly possible on the grounds that we see the course of history in Scripture, and we see how that Irenaeus made it so clear, and Brother Branham also used the same thought, that as God being a Savior, is necessary for God to predestinate a sinner, a man who would be lost, in order to give God a purpose and reason of being. Like Brother Branham did say, that it would be certainly against the integrity of God and the what you might call his character and glory and esteem, that he should lose something just for the sake of finding it. And that would be, that's true. That is not the way it is. In the outworking of the Eve, actually refusing to bear that seed which she should have borne, we find that that God, in bringing forth his purpose, even in the Son, gave him a greater glory by himself being deferred to a later age and a later time, whereby he would become our Redeemer and the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in him bodily, so that whatever was in God, literally pouring into Christ, speaking now in terms of that Godhead bodily, God would manifest through him. We can see in the book of Ephesians, Colossians, and various other books of the Bible by Paul, that there was not just the glory that Christ desired to have returned to him, but there was a greater glory still, that greater glory coming by reason of obedience through suffering, which he would not have attained to had he borne him. Now, that's the same the way we are. But nonetheless, you cannot bypass the functional truth that Brother Branham lays down here, that Eve actually refused to bear Christ, and she went in an opposite direction. Now, as I said, it seems hardly possible that this principle that Brother Branham gave us is a true principle, and it certainly would be repudiated by every theologian. There wouldn't be anybody but people like us who would believe it and then go to the Scripture and find it. And so, as we began to apply some time back the principle of Alpha and Omega, we found indeed that only Jesus Christ could be the fulfillment of the command promise of God as found in Genesis 1, 26 to 28. So, if we go back to Genesis 1, 26 to 28, we can see what actually happened, and we'll progress with it and see where this great misfortune took place, this great miscarriage, this great disobedience, this great interruption that came upon the world. So we're reading then in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. Image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And of course, Brother Branham said that was for propagation. And God blessed them. And God said, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth." So we find that God relegated complete sovereignty to Adam and Eve and to their offspring. And this is exactly what the word of command promise was. And there's nothing you can do about it. It has to come to pass. It must be exactly as set forth. So if we go to Matthew, the 28th chapter, and in verse 18, we find Christ in the resurrection saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, you'll notice in there, of course, that when he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth," he doesn't stop there. And he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost," which, of course, we know the apostles did, and they baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. "And teaching them to observe all things what I have commanded you." So you will see in here the authoritative position of the Lord Jesus Christ, having all power in heaven and earth given unto him, sets him in a position whereby under him we can have the earth now and the people of the earth coming forth and entering into all of that power which he has, because this power is not given to Adam and Eve's children. It's only given by virtue of the fact that it was all given to him, and of course he is head of the church. But remember, as Christ is head of the church, God is the head of Christ. And always keep that in mind. Never, ever leave that. Now, with that, we're going to go over to the... You caught what I'm saying now. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And then he speaks in terms of what will be known as his seed, his progeny, which have come forth by natural election, though supernatural in its inception, now supernaturally brought forth in a resurrection, which we see down the road. But get the picture. Way back there in Genesis, all power was given to them. Sovereignty of God was placed in them, that particular portion. Now Jesus stands here and claims it. Now we go to the book of Revelation, the 11th chapter, and in verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord, even of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. So now you're seeing here that every single thing that was mentioned there and given in custody to the custody of Adam and Eve, which they turned aside, we find it all involved in this one known as the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David. Now with that, we go to Revelation chapter 22. And in 22:1-5, and he showed unto me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And you know the crystal is made beautiful by the addition of lead, which I don't find any scripture for it. But crystal is even made more beautiful by the addition of silver, and I find much scripture for that. And again, I find that you can add gold to crystal, and it is much greater. Now, you can actually add uranium and other things also, but we're not interested in that. We're interested in gold and silver, and therein we find redemption, and we find the gold of the New Jerusalem, which would be the trial of our faith, the coming forth of the character of God within man. And so here is this tremendous river of crystal, and you can see the beauty of it, as I say, as you look at the content, the silver and the gold. This must be a most tremendous and marvelous river proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And you can use that in there, actually, even the Lamb, because the throne certainly is of God, and the Lamb is on the throne. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded a fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Brother Brown said that's to keep peace. And there shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And again, who's on that throne? The Lamb. And what's above the throne? The pillar of fire. Just never, ever forget the omegas. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle. Now, what do you use a candle for? Well, the candle was used for searching. You won't have to be searching. The days of hunting and searching are over. It'll be as Brother Branham said, even before they call, he answers. There'll be the constant shedding of light. There's no need for looking for lost coins. There's no need to look for something that has been betrayed or misplaced because it isn't there. You simply do not need it. See, there's nothing you need there. Neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now notice, they shall reign. We find here the complete sovereignty of God vested in Jesus upon the throne, and we see a ruling and a reigning with these people, and it's contingent only to the ruler himself. Whatever now is granted to mankind is fulfilled in here in the scripture in the Omega. Now, listen carefully. Thus, if Jesus fulfilled this, he fulfilled Genesis 1:26-28. I believe that's what we read. 1:26-28. If he actually fulfilled this, it must have been written of him originally. For God cannot change his word. Now, this is where you may find yourself stumped, because you won't let your thinking go. You've got to let it go to understand that one of the most important sermons Brother Branham ever preached, which was a juncture in his ministry, spoken word is original seed. And he brought it to the point where that word, which identifies species, can never be changed. A horse is a horse is a horse. A dog is a dog is a dog. A pig is a pig is a pig. A son of God is a son of God is a son of God, because he was in the beginning and he will be all the way through without end. You cannot change it. So therefore, if you think for 1 minute this was vested over here in a particular area for this particular person, and it comes over in this area for another particular person, something has gone haywire. Because you see, you're looking at carrier. You're looking at carriers. Now, you cannot have a carrier bearing a certain life which has a genetic coding, and that carrier be different from the genetic coding within that seed. A dog is a dog is a dog. A pig is a pig is a pig. A wheat is a wheat is a wheat. An oat is an oat is an oat. And a tare is a tare is a tare. Of course, you're not listening. I know that. You see, it's hard to believe a prophet. They repudiate prophets. They malign them. They abuse them. They kill them. It's very difficult to appreciate what is being said. Now let us go to Isaiah chapter 55. And we read Isaiah as a tremendous book because it's full of fabulous information and fabulous rebukes. And, of course, it starts the first chapter, first where, "Ho, everyone that thirst has come to the waters, and without money," and so on, "and incline your ear to me, and hear, and your soul shall live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant," and so on down the line. But we're going to go to the 8th verse. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Now remember, the thought is an ideation. And the ideation, to come to fulfillment, must actually be in the form of what the idea was, which in this case we're talking of life and genetic coding. So, if the genetic coding is not in there, and the substance of materiality to bring forth into manifestation that life, you will find a form that you cannot actually accept as to what is in that coding. Now, children born from women taking thalidomide came forth at arms without feet because the genetic coding was tampered with and destroyed. Now, you take that back to where Eve mingled with the serpent, but just leave it sit there. The point is, I'm bringing out here, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now, there can be a tampering, and there is a tampering by man. But there is no tampering with the Word of God per se, because there is no way that that ideation that lies there will not come forth exactly as God wants it. Now, let's keep reading and you'll find out. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, notice what he's saying here. My omnipotence is far above anything you can produce. And so, therefore, in my omnipotence, I will produce my omniscience, and that is all there is to it. For as the rain cometh, and the snow cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Now, this is just a little illustration. So shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Now, what did Jesus say voided the word? Traditions. The changing of the word of God by man voided it. But there's nothing that man can do under any consideration whatsoever that will void the word of the living God. And the word of the living God in Genesis, which we read, 26 to 28, we found in its perfection in the Lord Jesus Christ, heading up a God race. And in no other way could it be done. So therefore, what was spoken back there had to be spoken concerning him and not somebody else. See, you understand what I'm saying. It shall accomplish that which I please. Now remember, the pleasure of the Lord prospered in Jesus. The only place it prospered, well, we can read that in Isaiah 53. And it shall prosper whereunto I sent it. Now with that, we go to Ecclesiastes. And in the third chapter, the 14th verse and 15th, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Now there's nothing that God does, ever does, apart from His Word. There is nothing. See? It shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before Him. In other words, the Alpha and Omega principle, which I discovered through Brother Branham, should send fear and terror and reverential awe into every single person. That it does gain ground in some people is noted. The other day when I was at Brother Terry, a man came up to talk to him, and he'd been at a funeral that Brother Terry had conducted. And he wanted to let him know that the principle of Alpha and Omega, which Terry had enunciated at that funeral service, had opened the Scripture to him and done things for him from the Scripture which nothing else had ever done before. So, this principle we're looking at is through the entire Bible, so that Brother Branham could say with perfect confidence, the vindication of God, God vindicating His own word. Spoken word is original seed, and in no way can it be changed. That which has been is now. In other words, well, let's read further. And that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. In other words, you're seeing Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as you bring that up to date, it is God Himself manifested in human flesh just before the fire, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, the time of the promise that the Son must come forth in human flesh, which, remember, the church cannot do. It can only come to pass by the bride having spiritual sexual intercourse to receive the further part of Christ, which would be the complete headship and the complete dominion, which will take her over there, because she must be in a position which will be a glorified position to even get to the wedding supper and come back. Now, this word seed must bring forth then, as I have said, exactly according to its genetic coding. And its genetic coding is, what did God have in His mind when He said it? And remember, when He said it, there's no way He can take it back. Remember, first of all, it is ideated. Next, it is written. Thirdly, it is spoken. Everything in threes. And from that time on, there can be no return once the word is spoken. As Brother Branham said, let there be light. It might have been thousands of years. Who knows and who cares? There's no way that that word could not possibly come to pass. Now, therefore, let us look at the word again. Back here in Genesis 1, and we'll be looking at the 28th verse. And it says, God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion. Now, first of all, I want you to know the word here that says, be fruitful. That word fruitful means to bear fruit. Now, let's face it. The woman alone can bear fruit. She's a fruit tree. The man is not a fruit tree per se. It is the woman that bears. So therefore, when the command is given, and remember, they are in one spirit body. And the two sexes are already there, which come from this life, which life can be propagated only by the two sexes. Now, you know that a man does not bear a baby. So when it says be fruitful, it means to bear. Now, let's look at Paul's understanding of that, which is very, very clear in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and reading from 7 to 12. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. And remember, her glory is her hair. So every time she snips it, she snips off her glory. So you can see today we have a bald-headed so-called bride. OK? Could you believe for 1 minute Christ's going to marry a bald-headed witch? Why, she's lost her femininity. She's doing that which pertains to a man. She's cutting her hair. Right? Men cut their hair. Women don't cut their hair. That's maleish. You see these stinking so-called males with their long hair. As Brother Branham said, he may show you he's a male. He's got the appurtenance thereof. But he's got a female spirit. So let's understand clothing and a few more things when it says pertaineth to the male. That's his male sexuality that he is to retain. And she is to retain her female sexuality. And there is to never at any time be a blending. God hates the effeminate. And don't try to tell me otherwise. I'm not some stupid idiot. For the woman is not of the, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Now that's Genesis. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Now you'll notice right there, that's why Brother Branham put her in a secondary position. She was outside the original creation. Now she's not a lesser person, because she's got the same life. But now we're looking at sexuality. This is where the bad thing is. Now watch though. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head, that's the sign of authority, which means she could never cut her hair in the presence of God's messengers. Now watch, but here's the verse I want. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. Now go back to where they were in the beginning, because you've got to go back to Alpha. And this is exactly what Paul tells us, because that's exactly what was there. That's why Paul could tell us in Timothy that the corrupting sin in the Garden of Eden was sexual intercourse by Eve and the serpent. And at the end time bride, starting with Paul's own age, there would be a filthy spiritual intercourse of the mind through a perverted word. Now, Eve never would have come into the act had she stood behind the word and stayed with him. Now, for as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. So this is the order when he says, be fruitful and multiply. The order is directly given to the woman that she is a child bearer. But she can't bear without the male. Why? Because the life that she got from the male, she cannot pass on to anybody else. Why? Because it was passed on to her. So therefore, you cannot break the divine order. And the divine order of Almighty God is that propagation comes by the insemination of the male to the female. And she becomes the bearer of fruit. But they're in it together. So the primary purpose on this earth is the bearing of children. Now keep that in mind. Because we'll see the truth of it. The next thing is multiply. That sin simply means to increase. What are they going to increase? Their own numbers. Children of God that come by human or natural election. Replenish. That simply means to fill up. And there is a big earth to fill up. Subdue. That means to keep it under your control. Dominion means to reign. Now, all of this has come and is yet to come by and through Jesus Christ our Lord. Every bit of it. Every single thing that's said here. Every single thing. There is absolutely no way that you can find it outside of Jesus Christ. Then that has to be the original word, the Alpha, to get the Omega. Have I lost you? Huh? Well, I shouldn't lose you, merciful heavens, for you never know. A wheat is a wheat is a wheat. So I plant wheat and get wheat. I'll plant and get corn and get rhubarb. Huh? Then the word of God cannot return unto him void. And it's done in a certain way. As Brother Branham said, if God had a better way than the blood, he did it by the blood first, then he's got to do it by the blood last. So God has this all lined up here. Now we're looking at it. So we're looking at 1 Corinthians 15:20-23. And this is a very beautiful passage. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now it tells you right here that Jesus died, and he's the first one to come forth from the dead in this resurrected, glorified body. And the Bible distinctly tells us in Luke that he came in another form. It didn't mean he didn't have arms and legs and that he changed from being a man. But the form was a glorified figure. So there was a change there. For since become the first fruits of them that slept. And he's talking in terms of the first part of the first resurrection and looking forward to the second part of the first resurrection. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all are made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, head of the church. From then on, every man in his order. What did you see around the throne? The 24 elders. Brother Branham said they were the 12 elders of Zion, the 12 apostles. Somebody come along and say, merciful God, what's Reuben doing there? He's a skunk. Mind your own business. I can feel this very strong from the world out there. They hate my guts. Lee Dale has no love. His language is terrible. Oh, yes. They write me hypocritical letters thinking I'll sell myself. I can read them like a book. They use my tapes and pick out the nuggets. Oh, don't think they don't. I know what you don't know. And they hate me because I'm not nice. He's not sanctified. He has no love. Is that a fact? Is that a fact? Have I told you a lie? Have I taken your money? Have I sold you a bill of goods? Have I lorded over you standing up, holy Dale, some great guy, and wear you down with preachers saying, do you pray like I pray, do you? You better pray more than me if you've got an ounce of guts in you. No, they can't stand it. They can't stand it. Did you know that God raised up Samson? A womanizer? And judged Israel? Amen. Reuben defiled his father's bed. Paul killed the bride. an authenticated prophet said the 420 elders were the 12 apostles and the 12 patriarchs. I don't think some people are going to want to go to heaven. I can tell you ain't going to get there because they're trying to put God straight all the time. I don't care what God does. What would it matter if I did care? He's sovereign. Always talking about Father. You better talk about God before you talk about Father. You better realize God's no dotty old grandfather. Even his own son learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Yes, I hang tough and I preach tough. And I'll continue to do so. And I'll continue to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ brought forth by a prophet. Oh, yeah. Afterward in your order. Wouldn't it be startling to see someone in this church have a very high order that you thought so little of, or I thought so little of? Huh? Oh, come on, I'm reading you the Bible. Everyone in their order. And God places the members as He pleases. Oh, I don't think that that person has this and that. No, they didn't like Brother Branham. No, he was a prophet. We told him about their belly aches and everything else. But they forgot he was a judgment prophet. Yeah. And the Bible said, He that receiveth whomsoever I send, Jesus speaking said, receives me. It means the same thing then if you don't receive the one that he sends. And William Branham was vindicated as sent, and you didn't receive Jesus. The Son of Man ministry went plumb over your head. Went over everybody's head. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. And 4-6. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads. And Brother Branham said that's all through seven ages. Or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years had finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Already, brother, sister, the sentence of the white throne is here. It tells you what started in the third chapter of the book of Revelation in the Roman Catholic Church when she'd sinned away her day of grace. And the promise was now you and your daughters will go into the great tribulation, into the second death. There it is right here. It's happened, Brother Branham said, right now. We're before the white throne. But there we're looking at this absolutely fulfilled in and through Jesus Christ. Let's go to Isaiah 53. Now, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form that cometh us, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Well, if he's a root out of a dry ground, I can tell you one thing, he had to be transplanted. You don't think he was? Jesus was neither Jew nor Gentile. Mary only contributed her body as a factory to give the elements therein. Israel couldn't produce him. No man could produce him. Another thought for dry ground is a woman's womb. There's no life in there. She's not Diana, the goddess, in whom there is seed, and now we're going to make a female Holy Ghost and a female God and all this tripe. This day. I never thought that would invade the Branham message, merciful God. Well, he no beauty we should desire him. He despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In other words, good thing we got rid of him. Why do you have to say that? Because that happened to the prophets. They said the same thing to Brother Branham. We got rid of him, thank God. But he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, chastened our peace upon him. But his stripes healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned him on his own way. The Lord laid on him and took us all. Oppressed and afflicted, opened not his mouth. Brought as a lamb to slaughter, as a sheep before a shearer's dumb, so opened he not his mouth. Taken from prison in judgment, who shall declare his generation? Never had any family. Now he himself is a dry root. No propagation. The Mormons love to claim, you know, that Jesus had two secret wives. The two sisters, Mary and Martha. Do you think he'd break the law? A man couldn't marry two sisters. You talk about a bunch of sex-filled, stupid jerks. They have nothing but phallic worship. They're no different from the Muslims. Oh, I could be nasty right now, but I don't intend to be pornographic, so I'll just cut it. For he was cut off the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. In other words, I could make this real hot, because I know a lot of things, and I've seen a lot of different things. He made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he had done no evil violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Put him to grief. When he shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Come on, we're fulfilling Genesis here. This is Genesis. This is not something just snuck in here that God had to change his mind and have a quick cover up. Oh, I blew it. Can somebody help me? This is a big joke about the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Father made a boo-boo and he said, who will go? Who will help me? And they said, I'll help you, Daddy. Can you believe for 1 minute, other than my favorite little verse of the boa constrictor, and the man drops in his pussycat, next morning there's no pussycat? And you think the guy didn't know the boa constrictor and then he kept to take the pussycat? Are we counting God some kind of a... Well, hey, to call him God is to make him sovereign. The word God indicates complete sovereignty, omniscience, omnipotence, period. And thank God he's love. There's your three right there. He's going to see his seed. I thought he didn't have any. There are no generations. Now, they already were back in him many, many years ago. He put them all in Adam. God was one, Jesus two, Adam three, put them all in there. Now he comes to redeem them. He shall see his seed, prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. What was the pleasure of God? He tells you in Genesis 1, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Subdue it. Reign over it. Take charge. Take control. Demigods. That was the command promise. How was it done? It was done through him. In his death. He shouldn't have had to die, but he did. We'll just keep going on. You'll see the travail of his soul. Be satisfied by his knowledge of a righteous servant, justify the many, bear their iniquities. Therefore divide the portion with the great, divide the spoil with the strong. And so on and so on, as we're looking at that. Now, turn back to Isaiah 9. In Isaiah 9:6-7, for unto us a child is born, unto us, what? Can I be reading this right? Unto us a great King Messiah comes down, full of fire. Doesn't say that. Now let's look at it. If this is what literally took place, and it did, and we'll read it, tell me. Tell me about it. Where should he have appeared? A government shall be upon his shoulders. Names shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there should be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, order to establish a judgment. And with justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God's own jealousy. Jealous over his own word. All right. There are many scriptures, both Old and New Testament, that we could read to show you that seed. That child born. Brother Branham said Eve should have borne him. Genesis chapter 2, 8 and 9. The Lord God planted a tree eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also knits the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, if the tree of knowledge of good and evil could kill you, and even though it's pleasant and good to look at, never came out of the ground, and tell you that. Never did. All right, 15:17. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. Now he told the man that. Right? And the man told the woman. And who did what? The woman did. Not fussing, just mentioning what happened. For in the day thou eatest thereof, for in the day of the eating thereof, dying thou dost surely die. In other words, you will never live 1,000 years. There's no way. And remember, one day at that time was 1,000 years. So, we read this far. All right, now according to Genesis 2 and 9, those two trees there, we find two kinds of trees. A, those that grew out of the ground. B, those that were not said to grow out of the ground, or even how they got there, but they were there. Put there by God. See, now in verse 16, all trees, even the tree of life, could be partaken of, but not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So therefore, Eve had a choice. Right? She had a choice. Now, Brother Branham categorically stated that the original sin in Eden was the cohabitation of Eve and the serpent. So let's go back to Ezekiel. We want to read Ezekiel 28 and 13, speaking of Satan. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. So, all right. We have two trees. You call one the tree of life, one the tree of death. One stood for Christ, stood there as Christ. One stood there as Satan. Now, they are both available, but one is forbidden. and yet not forbidden to the extent that the person could not partake. But in partaking, a penalty would be paid. Death within the 1,000 years. You're taken off of the earth. Now with that, we read the Songs of Solomon. The second chapter, a love scene. I'm the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood. Oh, we know that's not really an apple, but it's all right to translate it that way. Among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to his banqueting house, his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O daughters, Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, ye stir not up nor wake my love till he please. This book is written up everywhere in the world as a filthy book. They blame God for pornography. The fact of the matter is, everything you need to know about sex and life is in the Bible. What you prohibit us and now the interview is already mentioned there. The fact of the matter is, this is a love scene concerning Christ and the bride. This is where Brother Branham said that the church refused under Luther as it went back through the ages to have spiritual sexual intercourse with Christ, and thereby refusing to become a greater part of him or to take a greater part from him. So, all right, notice carefully that Eve chose one tree over the other, which was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was when the serpent came to her, and he was the full representation of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because his seed could mingle with hers, brought forth Cain, and thereby she was defiled. Now she should have chosen the tree of life in order to have a further part of Christ by spiritual sexual intercourse, but she refused. Now listen carefully as we go to the book of Luke, where Brother Branham talks about the Virgin Mary accepting the word where the prostitute Eve turned it down. In Luke 1:26, in 6 months the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she troubled his saying, and cast into mind what manner salutation this should be. And the angel said, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. So did Eve. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. What about that? Here's Isaiah. There's Genesis. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and his kingdom shall be no end. And then Mary said, How shall I this be, seeing I know not a man? Now watch. The angel said, You will not know man. The tree of life shall come upon thee. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth hath conceived a son in her old age, of course, by her husband Zachariah. This is 6 months with her, who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. That's mean God being present, doing it himself. Nothing's impossible. Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, and the angel left. Now remember, she took of the tree of life that Eve had access to. So therefore, Eve could have born and should have borne the seed, which she did not. She did not bring forth that seed. But the Virgin Mary did, because she said, according to thy word. Now, notice again carefully, we go to Matthew chapter 1. And we go to verse 18. Now the birth of Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost, and her, Joseph, rather than being a just man and not willing to make her public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not, taking thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, wouldn't it have been nice to have had him ahead of time to save them from their sins? Huh? Well, yes or no? If he did it here, he would have done it back there. Save them from sinning. Oh, yeah. Now, let's keep reading. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, spoken by the of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. I want to ask you a question. Was Eve a virgin or was she not? Okay. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. That's just his name. What do you think would have been there had Eve listened to God and gone to the tree of life? Now here's the verse I'm looking at. And Joseph knew her not. He did not have sexual intercourse with her until she brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus, and after that he did. And she bore him sons and daughters. All right. Would not this have been the perfect plan in the garden? That this seed become flesh, this same one, to lead all the children into the 1,000 years. Now, Brother Branham said they would have come to sex, and they certainly would have. Joseph came to it. That's they said sex. They certainly would have taken the proper methods of procreation, which we know is a sexual act. But not until that son, perhaps might have been 30 years of age, 40, 50, 100, who knows? Then the others would have been born perfectly, righteously, in the proper and wonderful pattern that God laid down. Now, see how the seed is redeemed by God and to God. We're going to look at that. To do so, we go to John, the 3rd chapter, and we read, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born in his oak? And the second time his mother will be born. And Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not to see unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Not true. The spirit breatheth where he wills. How do I know that? God breathed into Adam the breath of life. It was not wind. The word pneuma, spirit, wind. That's where Mr. Clinton's theologian is all wet. That's why he believes that abortion is not murder, which it is actually. We didn't know these things your Brother Branham taught us, but we do know them. Brother Branham set the entire record straight. We have to go with it. Thank God we can. Spirit breatheth where he willeth. Thou canst hear the sound of his voice, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone born of the Spirit. No sensations. Nothing you can see, hear, taste, feel, smell. We're going right back to the from the Alpha to the Omega of this hour. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1st chapter, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed of corruptible things such as silver and gold, but from your vain behavior received by tradition from your fathers, said everything you did wasn't worth a hoot, didn't work. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. That's what it says in chapter 13 of Revelation. Crucified before the foundation of the world. but was manifest in these last times for you, only came on earth at this time. Who by him do we believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, see, even greater glory than he had in the beginning, that your hope and faith might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with pure heart, being born again. Now there you write back to born again, in the book of John. Not of corruptible spora. Now this word is spora, not sperma. The sperma that brought you on earth here, which is fine, it was necessary. As Brother Branham said, we'll come forth from the earth. God will create again, not by sex, but by creating through the resurrection. And there's something else to mention about spora, which is seed, which is flower seed. Incorruptible spora, flower seed, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass. Now, notice, how does grass grow? How does it multiply? By pollination in the breeze. Pollination in the breeze. So the Holy Spirit breathes, even as the wind moves upon the grass and moves the pollen to the stamen to produce life. So God's Spirit breathes upon our spirit, quickens us, and awakens us through the life which is in the Word. Now it says, all flesh is as grass. He's telling you something here. If you're going to get born again, you're not going to get born again by going to your mother's womb or by some particular nature, reincarnation, this kind of junk and that kind of junk. It's going to be just like the breeze blowing on the grass, bringing the pollen. Spirit moving where he wills, speaking to whom he speaks, quickening whom he quickens, desires to quicken. Redeeming and bringing back to God. His brother Branham talked to the rich young ruler. Of the rich young ruler. God leading this man to himself. He didn't take it. Peter speaks of the word the same as John. Why doesn't the blood work? Even though condemnation has been eliminated by it, because men will not come to the word which comes to the truth. So Peter here is telling us all of these marvelous things. Now let's go to Isaiah 40. I'm not taking too much time on this. Think it over. You can bring it all together. Now come on, Isaiah 40. And we'll read just a few verses. comfort ye my people, saith the Lord, saith your God. Speak ye comfort to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and her iniquities pardoned. She had received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. It means the charges against her have been folded over. They cannot be seen any longer. They're blotted out. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord spoke in it. And the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And it tells you right there, this rebirth is not like your first birth. Now, your flesh is going to die. You're going to go. But because of that spora, the Holy Spirit bringing His life like pollen, bringing the Word into your soul and mind, guarantees the sealing into redemption of the resurrection, and not one shall fail. Now, this is John the Baptist. So let us go to the first chapter of the book of Luke and find out about John the Baptist. Because he's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. All flesh is as grass. The Spirit of God blows upon it. It blows upon and brings destruction to one. It blows the life and brings life to the other. God Himself in the midst today, doing the same thing. Left hand, destruction. Right hand, light. Like pollen in the breeze. So notice what it says in 15 to 17. For ye shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and ye shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel, not all, but many, shall return to the Lord their God. And John shall go before the Lord God of Israel, the spirit of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This man was going to bring the word of the Lord. What shall I cry? All flesh is as grass. You want the Spirit of God, the wind of God, the breath of God to blow over the people. Brother, sister, that happened in the great healing revival that Brother Branham was used to bring to this earth. We saw and knew there'd be a fresh message, and in that message there would be life. And in that life there'd be those that'd be as calves of the stall fatted. There'd be those who come up under the hand of God, sanctified and ready, completely redeemed, immortalized as the dead come out of the ground going to the wedding supper. And the rest are going on to judgment because all flesh is as grass. There isn't any difference. Every single one needs that breath of God, but those that do not receive, they die because they do not receive the word, wherein is the life which is that conduit. Let's go to the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. And we won't have time for number two this morning, so it's all right. In Ephesians 5, we read 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Tell, I want to ask you a question, brother, sister. Can you believe this verse is for any other time than for this day? If you do, you're sadly mistaken. Because the word of God was no longer the word of God after the Apostle Paul told us it has been messed up. Another gospel, another Jesus, another spirit. And so Brother Branham said, just think how wonderful the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. What does it mean, Brother Branham, perfect is come? He said, what is perfect but God, and what is God but his word? And by his grace we believe we have the perfect revelation of the word for this hour, every part in line. All seven parts making a perfect word. Bringing up a perfect bride right to headship. The ministry so perfect that the Holy Spirit himself can come right down upon it, bringing the word and taking a bride into glory. This is what we're looking at, brother, sister. This is what was way back there in that garden. Eve missed it. Now had Eve not refused Christ or God, the tree of life, the Holy Spirit, she would have brought forth the Son of God, who as ruler would have headed a perfect race of people with a perfect destiny and power over all power that be. Because Jesus, as Michael defeated Satan way back in ages past in heaven, And he'd have done the same thing on earth. He would have kicked him out of the Garden of Eden and annulled every force and every power. And the will of God, his headquarters on earth from Eden, and he never took it, it's just hidden from us, would be in full manifestation even to this day. Think then, what would have been the entire earth and population under the perfection of God? Genesis 3:16 would not have been written. Look at it. And it says unto the woman, I'll multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. She wouldn't have had it. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire to be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee. It wasn't in the beginning. It wasn't in the beginning. It wouldn't have been sexual desire bringing forth children. As Brother Branham said, look at every crime. There's a woman behind everyone someplace. And if you look at that crime, you're going to find it's usually woman sexually employed. The animals are a picture on earth, trees and other things, of what it is to propagate. We would not have had this unrest. And the children brought forth in sin. They'd have been brought forth sexually. Don't think for a minute they wouldn't have been. They'd have come to it, Brother Branham said. But they'd have come to it in its proper term. But it got out of turn. Childbirth would not be the basis to sex drive as it is now. But the moving of the Holy Spirit. The right time. The right place. There'd be no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no crying, nor tears, no deformed babies, no murders, no drugs. The book of Revelation crying out against all murder, all poverty, all horror, all power, anger, and animosity of Satan coming against, there would not have been. No death, no parting, no sighing, no crying. But there will be shortly all of this removed. But all this evil will one day depart, and the perfect command promise of God be freely effective in the millennium and the ages to come. So you see, brother, sister, those who would argue and say, oh, Brother Branham, no, it wasn't Eve. No, she should not have had that seed. Come on. You can't read your Bibles. The book is sealed to you. I said to Brother Branham, what a pity. I said, life is so wonderful and it can be. To come into this world, to grow up, to marry, to have a family. How great it would have been that we had not had sin, conceived in sin, shaped in iniquity, defiled and defiling, but to have our lives in this complete metric order of God. And I speak in terms of music. The solemn psalms of God. He said, Lee, you're talking about the millennium. What we missed, we shall more than recover. But I want you to, every time you see in Scripture, the thought of what could have been is exactly true. It could have been. And it comes to pass exactly through the ones ordained, the purpose, the channels, the times that God has ordained. So Brother Branham said, Eve should have borne that seed. And she turned. Responsible now for every death, every crime, every murder. And today death is rampant. And men's and women's bodies are rotting on their bones. Because she turned to the wrong tree. When God's life could have come upon her and brought forth that one, she chose an animal. Now we have an animal kingdom that knows nothing but the most horrible instincts and a cunning brain for degradation that God must completely wipe out, giving you the root and your branch. And when he does, we're going to see that seed which came through the womb of the Virgin Mary. And there's a son to come on the scene today through the virgin womb of a virgin bride in this hour. And when she meets that seed, the Spirit in the midst becomes incarnate to us. The world will begin to burn. All these things will disappear in a vapor of the judgment and smoke of Almighty God. And we'll come back to what we missed and will continually progress on. Because you see, he is that seed. It can never be changed. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time you've allocated. We get together and go into Scripture and see the things that the prophet brought, which are now so clear to us because we believe them. And in believing, Lord, we know every time we take a step of faith in the revelatory faith of our God, one more ring of unbelief leaves our hearts, the circumcision becoming more complete, the mind circumcision becoming more complete, and the love of God more abounding in our souls. We're getting there, Lord. There's no doubt about it. As Brother Branham said, if we're not bright, there's a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, we won't stand in her way. But even as he also commended, there's a million people, not million, but many people standing there. Each one must believe he or she is bride, which we do. We're looking for that great day, Lord. Maybe there's going to be a most marvelous surprise that there could be 7,000 standing that haven't bowed the knee. I don't know, Lord. I only know it's a small percentage out of 5.5 billion. And we're not concerned about percentages, Lord. We're concerned about being in that number, which we believe we are by the grace given to us in the induction into the mysteries of Christ in the last hour, in the presence of the tree of life, having left the tree of knowledge of good and evil once and for all. For he is now holy that is holy, righteous is righteous, unholy, unholy, unrighteous, unrighteous, clean, clean, unclean, unclean. The separation, the division, by that wonderful revealed word. Now just waiting for the separation of Luke, when a bride is caught up by our God to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in glory at the great incarnation and the wedding supper and coronation. Thank you, Lord, for healing your people, for sending healing in our midst, for this word is a great healing message, not only of the mind, the spirit, the soul, but also the body. Thank you for every grace we've had given to us. We appreciate it so much. We thank you, O God, and we can never praise and thank you enough. We only know, Lord, it's going to get richer and deeper. And our hope and our help is all in you, and we thank you for that. It's out of our hands. It's gone past the perpendicular, it's into a free fall, but we believe the fall is upward, the catching up of a bride into glory. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus.